Today I'm speaking with members of the Kamaikan FFA chapter in Kennewick, Washington. We have Chris Senor, Austin Roach, and their FFA advisor, Denise Senor. First, each of you introduce yourselves and tell us how you became involved in FFA.
My name is Christopher Senior. I'm this year's president of our Kamaikan FFA chapter. I got into the FFA mainly because my mom is the advisor here. You know, at first I thought it would be kind of a fun little thing to do, but it kind of turned out to be not only fun for me, but I could help other people have fun. Not only that, but I could also find ways to help the community and get the community involved with our projects and whatnot. So it's turned into a lot more than just my mom made me do it.
I'm Austin, and I'm the vice president of this year's FFA chapter. And the way I got involved was mainly just hearing about how people had fun in the FFA, and I thought it would be more serious work, but it was more fun, and I was learning as I was doing it, and it just helped me learn better habits, and it also just taught me to be a better person by myself.
Denise, tell us about your background with FFA and also describe your FFA chapter.
I started out in FFA when I was in high school, and I actually got into FFA late. I was a junior before I actually started working in the FFA, and I really enjoyed it and became an officer in my chapter in a very short period of time. And I actually grew up in Texas, so the whole agricultural education programs are a little different down there than they are up here. When I got up here, I actually was not planning on teaching because I didn't have a teaching certificate. I worked in industry for several years before I became a teacher, mostly in the equine industry. My background is in horse reproduction, and bred horses for many years on different farms down in Texas and in the surrounding state before I became a teacher. When I moved up here, the horse industry is not very strong, and so I was trying to figure out a way that I could stay connected to industry and still do things that I love, and so I got into teaching, and I've loved it ever since. We are mostly kind of a suburban-type chapter where we have a lot of kids that live in apartment complexes and small houses within the city limits. They can't have a lot of animal projects, so it limits what we can do for SAE projects, and so we have to be somewhat creative. We have about 40 members in our chapter right now. So it's a fairly small chapter compared to the size of the school, but a very, very active chapter within our community and within our school itself.
So what are some of those SAE projects that you all do that are different from some of the traditional SAE projects?
We offer 5 SAE projects on campus that the kids can get involved in, and it's kind of a fun process because the kids can either work in placement or they can work in ownership, depending on which project they're getting involved in. We run a commercial greenhouse on campus that the kids can actually do kind of a nursery placement project. They can come in and they work, learn a little bit about pinching and pruning of plants, planting seeds, et cetera. And then we have a big greenhouse sale in the spring that they can actually learn salesmanship as well. We also run a commercial aquaculture program where we work with our Fish and Wildlife Department. We raise 1,000 rainbow trout on our campus. We have some large commercial tanks, and the students are assigned to a specific tank, and some of them are managers associated with that, and it's all student SAE projects that run that program. And then we have just a large shop program that students can work in to learn shop skills and make projects. We sell a lot of metal art, a lot of welcome signs, yard art type stuff that for Christmas and for other holidays, birthdays, et cetera, that students can produce and be involved in production of that aspect. We have a rabbitry on campus where several of the students own rabbits, or they work with the school's rabbits to learn how to raise a rabbit, learn how to breed them, have them have babies, et cetera. And so it's you know, small animals that the kids can work with on campus and still be able to get the experience of working with an animal. We also run a floral shop on campus. So the students make a lot of corsages and boutonnieres for various activities on campus, dances, et cetera. We also do birthday arrangements, et cetera.
Well, your chapter hosts a metal art contest each year. Tell us about this contest, like who participates and where the funds that are raised go.
Well, for our metal art contest, we kind of came up with the idea, was it like about 10 years ago? And it kind of started off as a smaller, you know, local-ish, where just a couple of chapters got involved in it and whatnot. But in recent years, we've actually opened it up to chapters and whatnot across the state of Washington, and we're trying to get it as a official sanctioned event by the FFA, trying to get multiple metal art contests going, if other schools will, you know, host one, so we can have it be a little bit larger deal than it is right now. We usually host it on our local community college. Well, they have a big metal shop, and we just kind of go into there, and they allow us to work with their tools and equipment, as well as work with some of their instructors to kind of, you know, produce the ideas that these chapters and other teams have, as well as our own teams, to just kind of create the best metal art piece in a six-hour period of time.
The metal and stuff that we use for the projects is all donated. We have a large crane company, an international crane company called Lamson Crane in the area, and they pretty much donate all of the metal for the projects that the students do, and that way we can sell the projects in a local auction. We open it up and we put it on the internet and so people can bid on them, and then all of the money that's raised goes into our state FFA foundation to help support other FFA competitions across the state.
It's also a really good learning experience due to the fact that it is on a college campus. Not only do we get access to college facilities, but we're also able to interact with the students and the professors there, so they can, if we ever have any questions, they can help us out, or they can provide different techniques that will help us later on in the future or anything like that. At the very end of the competition, at the end of the 6 hours, everybody has their projects out into the main room where everybody sits down and the judges will judge, say what they think about them. Because it's not only just like welding or anything like that, it's also artistic ability and their different views on it. So one judge can say that this project is great due to the artistic ability, but then another judge could say that it's not so great due to the welding ability, or vice versa. And so after they judge it, they place the teams accordingly all the way to first place, and they give out prizes, well, to the members of the teams, depending on their placings. And then after that, we have a silent auction that goes on, and all that, people come and bid on it, and then we have a separate competition on that whoever gets the highest amount for the bidding, that team that got the highest bidding gets another prize for bringing in the most money.
Well, Kristen, Austin, tell us what you've learned through your participation in FFA, and Denise, tell us what you have experienced as an advisor and how students grow through this organization.
You know, FFA has been a really awesome experience for me. As the president of the chapter this year, I mean, I've been able to actually work with a lot of stuff that I haven't done as much before, you know, working with my officer team and with the chapter members, and being, you know, seen as the person you can go to if you have any questions about, you know, animals. I'm heavily involved in the animal project. I do a lot of welding projects and whatnot, and just being seen as that person who can help you out, you know, whenever the need arises. It's really been a special experience for me. Throughout, you know, my whole career as an FFA, I've done public speaking contests all 4 years, and it actually has really helped me give presentations and whatnot, actually very similar to this one now.
Pretty much what I've learned from the FFA chapter is that I'm actually a pretty good speaker. It's helped me out a lot in my English classes and other classes that required me to speak. So FFA has helped me gotten better grades. It's helped me be a better person. I've become more active in our community here. I've talked to more people. I've been able to make a lot more friends in the FFA than I probably ever would have. Friendships that I'll keep in high school, but most likely for the rest of my life. And I've learned how to weld. It's also helped me see kind of like what I'd want to do when I'm out of high school. And it's something that I don't think I could have lived without. It's now a part of my life, and I'm glad that it is.
As far as I'm concerned, the growth that I see in students, I think, is probably one of the most special things that I find is rewarding about teaching high school students. I always laughed at my students. I always told my students and all my friends in high school that I'd never be a teacher. And now I don't think I would be able to go through life without being a teacher. I find it very rewarding, especially when students come to me and say, you know, this is what I want to do for a living after I graduate. And I think that knowing that that impact is there is really special and really rewarding for me as a teacher.
Thank you so much. That was Chris Senor, Austin Roach, and Denise Senor of the Kamaikan FFA chapter in Kennewick, Washington. With this week's chapter spotlight, I'm Shanika Otterby on FFA Today.